This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal. I just got off a plane from India yesterday.
Business in India? Are you kidding me?
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
All right, it is indeed time for Startup Nation Radio. This is the show for you to learn about how to start and grow your own business. Today's show is focused on startup businesses that have been started in highly competitive markets, highly entrenched, and they're breaking out big. You're going to learn how they do it. You'll hear about their stories. You'll learn the tricks they've employed to make it happen for them. Hey, great stories, great advice, great inspiration. What more could you want? Great show ahead. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome to this edition of Startup Nation Radio. Excuse me. Today focused on businesses that are breaking out in highly competitive markets. Excuse me. You know, I took a sip of water right before we came into this segment of the show so that I wouldn't have a problem with my voice. And of course, it went down the wrong pipe, but we're here. We're all here, so don't worry about that. All right, great show ahead. Again, focused on businesses breaking out and breaking big. Norm Pappas, my friend, partner, co-host, welcome to Startup Nation Radio. Glad to have you on the show, Norm.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
We've got a great show ahead. Before we get into it, I want to acknowledge our sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and none other than Pappas Financial. Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for business owners to ultimately transfer their hard-earned gains to their estate. Get started right and stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them at 248-539-8282 and tell them Startup Nation sent you. Well, Norm, we've not only got Pappas Financial as a great sponsor, we've got you on the air. And you've helped us tee this show up. You've got a couple of entrepreneurs that are going to come on the show and tell us a little bit about them and why you picked them.
Well, they're two young men, Jason Rasnick and Ari Techner. And Jason is here. Ari will call in. But Jason, if you were to have people collect baseball cards, Jason would collect business cards. He's got a mind for businesses and what people do. And he's got a business that could be the next Bloomberg.
Wow. That's a big statement.
And Ari is a golfer. That's his passion. And he has a company called Scratch Golf. And he has made clubs for Jack Nicklaus and the young Chinese golfer that was at the Masters and has a four-year-old son that can play and maybe the next Tiger Woods. And
wow,
he's got some interesting ideas.
Norm, we asked you to help put the show together. We got comparisons to Tiger Woods, Bloomberg. You did good, Norm.
And these guys are just getting started. They're young.
All right. So, Norm, business is tough. I mean, we know that. You've got a great business. You've worked hard. You're one of the hardest working guys I know, actually. Calling me at 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night. Oh, it's Norm again.
I believe in returning phone calls and
making them. I mean, you're very proactive. You work hard. You put in the hours, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a passion of mine, helping people.
Yeah. And business is tough. I mean, it is. The fundamentals of business are relatively simple, but creating success is really hard. And so today's show, I mean, every business faces challenges, but to face challenge in markets that are, you know, so well entrenched here in the financial services market, you know, you mentioned Bloomberg or Morningside, you know, the list goes on and on. It's deep water, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you think they can break out and be the next Bloomberg. Why?
Well, you're going to hear from Jason. He's got great vision, and he's able to consolidate information that the average person wouldn't necessarily have access to.
And golf, that's going to be the next story that we're going to talk about. And that, too. I mean, wow, you try to break out with golf product, you know, a brand in the golf marketplace is, again, one of those markets that's well-established, very hard to break into, And yet, you know, the other guest we're going to have on, Ari, is doing just that.
Yeah, and he customizes. And listen, if you're passionate about golf, you want to get the best equipment, get the best fit, and there are concepts to golf that he's using that the big operations may not use.
All right. Well, we're gonna find out. We're going to hear about their stories. We're going to find out how they're making it happen and how they're breaking out. Let's get right into it. We've got Jason Rasnick in the studio. He's the CEO of a company called Benzinga. Jason, you've got Norm set you up big. Comparison to Bloomberg. Better bring your A game.
We're ready.
Welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thank you for having me on, Jeff. Looking forward to it.
All right. So tell us some, give us some background on the company. First, tell us what it does, when it was started. Give us the nuts and bolts first.
The company was started almost 4 years ago now. And the whole idea was to give information to the average Joe. So information, there's this divide, Wall Street versus Main Street. And we've always tried to bridge that divide. The first thing we started was delivering real-time information to people and not putting it behind, you know, big expensive paywalls where you have to pay $2,000 a month. As we continue to progress, we continue to make, and we'll get more into it, information easier for the average person to understand. So if you want to know what a 529 plan is, instead of going around and doing all this research, we give you the answers, and we talk like the average person, so it's easy to understand. We don't talk down to you. We eat our own cooking, so we are our customer, and we'll talk about our growth, but it's really grown. I mean, we have over 1 million people on our platform a month, but over 10 million people read Benzinga's content per month.
That's incredible. So where did this, you know, what was the moment of epiphany here? Where did the idea come from?
Well, I used to study small cap stocks all the time. So companies that are $400 million that you never heard about. And that's what I did in college. I actually made up a fake fund name with the street I lived on. And I used to call CEOs of companies and they would get back to me and I had all this intelligence. I'm like, I should do something with this and leverage this. And it really gave me great intelligence. Later in life, I'm like, there could be I had a bunch of different startups, you know, prior to this. There could be a newswire just covering these kinds of services. So that was how Benzinga started. And then you know how these businesses go and you see what customers want. And I've always, the customer is my boss at all times. And in the financial industry, you would think there's so many innovative companies, but there's so many areas that are ripe for disruption to change the game, to ultimately empower the average person to really take investing under their control.
Well, and in a way, it's very similar to, for example, what Startup Nation is doing by bringing great business advice to a community of, I mean, you call it the average Joe, you know, the heartland American entrepreneur or investor, whatever it may be. However you want to frame it, the point is it's not the big sophisticated fund managers that you're catering to or institutional investors or even guys who, you know, who may know a lot about this. You're catering to someone who's relatively new, novice. Wants to scrape the surface, but wants information in order to manage their finances better, right?
Yep. It's giving the secrets. Like Startup Nation gives the secrets to people starting companies, we give the secrets to guys who want to invest and make money for the long term.
All right. I've got some big questions for you. We're going to come back after the break. We now know what you're doing with Benzinga. We've heard a little bit about your success. Millions of users on the platform. Unbelievable. Norm, let's get our pencils sharpened here. Get ready to ask the tough questions. Let's find out if we've got the next Bloomberg here in the studio, all right?
Well, Jason's got some creative thoughts.
All right. Well, we're going to hear them right after this break on Startup Nation Radio. Stick with us. We're going to hear how Jason's making it happen. We're going to drill down and find out how he's making it happen. Stick with us.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, welcome back to Startup Nation. Great show, great stuff. We've got Norm Pappas as a co-host on this edition of Startup Nation Radio, and our great sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. Well, we're getting into it with Jason Rasnick, CEO, founder of Benzinga, a financial information, financial services company, providing that information to, as he put it, the average Joe. Those of us who, frankly, probably most of us don't know a lot about investing. It's an intimidating subject. Lots of very smart kind of insiders exist out there helping the very wealthy. But for the average Joe, it's kind of hard to get your arms around all this, let alone get the information you need. And Jason's seized on a passion for doing just that. and it's got millions of people now enjoying his hard work and taking advantage of it and making it work for them, and it's making a business work for him. So that's a, I think you call that a win-win. Jason, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Norm, I know you had a question burning during the break for Jason. Let's get right into it and drill down and find out how Jason made this happen.
Jason, how did you take your passion and your ideas and turn them into a business?
Great question, because I definitely have had a lot of ideas over the years and sometimes not so good at the execution. Well, this business was all about execution. I mean, it was all about making stuff happen and the hustle. So it started off as a content business. We've migrated more to software now, but started off, Benzinga was a content business. Well, we needed content. I was a one-man show. I would get up at 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I had a three-month-old at the time. Or 5 month, and I got up at 4 in the morning, and I went to midnight every single day in the basement. That's what it was.
Well, everybody who's got a 4-month-old baby's up at 4 a.m.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but you, instead of sitting there turning on the TV, you went to work writing content.
It was nonstop, and if I really go into details how this company got started there, I had to find people to write content. So I didn't have any money. I basically... no money. So I had to will it to success, literally will it to success. So I had to find writers. I found some people who I didn't have any money, so I was paying them $200 a week at first. Those writers grew with me. One of the writers is like a head writer at Bloomberg now. These guys were guys that just finished school and they wanted an opportunity, and you had to hustle your way to find them. You post ads on College Board sites, you post ads on Craigslist, you find these guys, and you produce great content, and then you get customers. And so it was 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day of straight stress to get this stuff done. And then the other part, how do you go build a website that works and people can log in?
Right.
And that was, you know, that again is a hustle, and you have to spend the time and research, find the guys. The guys who built our site are the guys who built the New York Times. At the time, he didn't build the New York Times. We were his first site. Now he just redid the New York Times site. And it's just crazy that I found him, but it's all that hard work and that I mean, I was on the computer nonstop finding these guys, you know, hopefully pays off if you, you know, put in the, you know, the time.
Yeah. Norm, what do you think? Hard work and hustle. How do you think that relates to business?
I think that they say persistence and determination are the two primary ingredients to success. And Jason, he is a hard worker.
Well, right? clearly. I mean, and that's what it takes. So, here's what we've got. Here's the story so far. You had this passion for this idea. You knew something about what you were setting out to bring to the market. That is the financial, you know, investing, stocks, all that, you know, right? Equities, that kind of thing. You knew about that. You were doing it small. Doing small cap stocks, you mentioned.
Loved it. I was very passionate about the stock market.
You were passionate about it. Okay, so you had this passion for it. You had this idea. You were in this space. You said, hey, I see an opportunity here. I see an opening that's not being addressed properly. You kind of pulled together a business concept, which then probably, did you pull together a business plan at that moment?
I made a bit of an executive summary, but I had the bit, I mean, I've written business plans, but I had the business so crafted out, like in my head.
Yeah, you knew where you were going.
I knew where I needed to go for the next 6 months.
Yeah, and then you knew you needed a couple of things. First, you had no ability to deliver on the value proposition of bringing information to the marketplace without the content. So you set out to populate your site with a lot of content. That was the first step. You had to load it up, right? Otherwise, you couldn't deliver on the value proposition.
Absolutely. And there's so many places that deliver content. So it's a lot of, everything's noise these days. So at first, I was very concerned. I didn't want to be just more noise. So our model is, how do we curate, and everything we write has value? Because no one else is doing it. Everyone's just writing stories. So Warren Buffett announces something, there'll be 16 stories about it. So how can we bring something unique to it? And so that was part of the beginning part.
Well, let me ask about that. Are you bringing, when you say curate, you were originally, all the content in the beginning was original content written by you.
Yep. But so people don't want to go to a million places. Like, they don't want to go to, they don't want to go to a million places. So Twitter was around then, actually. And so what we did was find the interesting guys on Twitter that you wouldn't be able to find, and we would curate and bring that kind of stuff in, and people loved it because they didn't want to go to a million places.
Right. So
we were the only site doing curating important guys on Twitter.
You're a trusted source, once they like your style, once they get used to getting information from you, the way you deliver it, they want it all right in front of them. So you could mix original content with curated content. All right, so you had this content there. I assume you made it very SEO friendly. That was probably a focus in the beginning.
Yeah.
That being search engine optimization, you want to make sure, because people, here's where I'm going next. Now you have the product. You got the value proposition. You know your market. But now you got to reach that market, create the awareness, compel them, engage them, and get them to actually come to your site.
That's the hardest part. I mean, you create this thing, and how do people hear of Benzinga? I mean, it's a funky word, Benzinga, you know. So what I focused on, and I remember it was a one-man show and a couple other people, but I was calling partners bigger than us, much bigger partners than us. You're talking like Thinkorswim, Ameritrade style. So at first, I mean, I had to get a hold of these people, and I had to almost be multiple people because they couldn't talk to the CEO and they couldn't talk to the same person. So I had to be, you know, Jason Raznick or Mark Johnson, because you have to fake it till you make it. And so I had to present a bigger aura around us. And we signed on our first customer, I think, was Thinkorswim, which is owned by Ameritrade right now.
Right.
So then we went to the people. So one way is we could build, one idea of building the business is you build your own site, you build in your own island. I figured the eyeballs are already in other places. So how can we go get these partners? So our first partner happened to be Thinkorswim, one of the biggest brokerages around.
Right.
And that was a very hard partnership to get. I mean,
the partnership, the quid pro quo, though, was what? You provided the content?
They licensed from us.
They licensed the content.
Just like you license the AP,
right.
Benzinga has newswires that people license from us.
Right.
So we provided value. Now, they saw value in us because we had trading ideas that was curated. So we produced news, not just news, but trading ideas. So if you think Apple's earnings are going to beat, Benzinga would say, here are some ETFs for you to play. We wouldn't say go buy these, but we gave you options. That was the idea because no one does it. No one still does that. Everyone tells you to go buy this, go buy that. Who knows?
Right. Remind us what the revenue model is here so that everyone can keep that in context. Because it's all cool. We got to make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. So Benzinga, I mean, the year we started, there was four other companies with interesting and really good domain names that are all out of business. So content businesses typically depend on ad revenue. I wasn't comfortable with ad revenue because there's so many sites, it's hard. And our business model is we make money from licensing, which is Benzinga Newswire. So we license to Ameritrade, Microsoft, Yahoo, Options. There's big brokerages, TradeKing, Capital One. So then that's our licensing business. The next part is subscriptions. So individuals, we have a platform called MarketFi, marketfy.com. We sell products on there that other people create. It's like an eBay for financial products. And that's our majority of our revenue. And then the third portion is ad revenue.
Okay. Great story.
Very creative, yeah. And where he's gotten to and the people he's dealt with, and we have to have a book on how you faked it with all your different characters.
It's amazing. And the people that call us now, CEOs of Chipotle, Starbucks, call us, call Benzinga in the basement of my house, and they're calling us to interview them. And we're distributed to on all these platforms. Windows 8, they had four finance partners: Reuters, Wall Street Journal, Benzinga, and CNBC. That was it. And we were licensed partners. So, and MarketFi, which is our e-commerce engine for if you're looking for financial to buy a newsletter or something, it's there on that platform, and we power it. I mean, it's all about empowering that individual investor to give them information with one click. You want to hear this? We try to just make it easier, better, and put reviews on it so it makes your life easier. And if we're not doing that, then we're doing a bad job, and that's it. I mean, it's all about pleasing that individual investor.
When did you know? I mean, now you've got blue chips like Ameritrade, Microsoft, you know, et cetera. You've called those out. It's amazing. Was there a moment you said, I'm doing this. This is going to work. This is happening.
There's moments like that, but you're never satisfied. Like, because I see so many problems and people still getting taken advantage of, and I think we can empower and make people more money long term and help them make better decisions. And whenever I see someone making a bad decision, I'm like, we need to solve that on Benzinga and MarketFi.
You know, I got to tell you, we're going to go to a break in a second, but I got to tell you your answer about, you know, I said, was there a moment where you knew you had it? And your answer was, you know, there were moments I'm never satisfied. That is such a typical entrepreneur. I mean, that's a guy who's going to make it big, you know? Unfortunately, yep. It's a curse and it's a blessing because it's going to drive you like crazy, but it's a curse in the same sense that you're never really there. You're always wanting the next thing.
You know, can ask my wife about that.
I know. I know exactly how it is. It's in your character, and you know what? It's in mine too, and Norm, I know it's in yours. All right, guys, listen, we're going to come back. We're going to continue on this subject. Jason, I want you to tell us how you did the marketing. I want to know some tips and tricks. Think of a good one. Give it to us after the break. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. More with Jason Raznick. And we're going to have another guest come on telling how he broke out in the golf market as well. Stick with us on Startup Nation.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream
by taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, great edition of Startup Nation Radio. Walsh College, Comerica Bank, Pappas Financial, great sponsors of Startup Nation Radio and supporters of the entrepreneurial community. Boy, great stuff. Jason Rasnick, we're picking your brain. Norm Pappas, you're with me today as a co-host. Great to have you on the air.
That's great.
We said, Norm, help us put together a good show. Bring some good guests. We want to learn some things. This is good stuff, Norm.
Oh, yeah.
This
you
good
got
stuff.
Two really innovative guys.
All right. Speaking of innovative, you know, it's one thing to be clever. It's one thing to be creative. It's one thing to be innovative. But ideas have to, there needs to be awareness of these ideas in order for them to become great businesses. So moving from a great idea or, you know, great innovation, moving from that innovative moment to one where you got cash coming in the door and the business is working, it's all humming, there's a lot of genius and a lot of execution in between the ideation stage and the reality of having a great business stage. And Jason, one of the things, and you said it, that's always a challenge for small businesses, how do you create that awareness, especially on shoestring budget?
No, absolutely, and it's hard. Well, two things going for it. Benzinga, we call the people that build at Benzinga, we don't say work, we say build, are zingers. We have a great team that pushes and pushes and pushes, and we're, you know, always hiring. But so that's having the great team that are hustlers and trying things. We have a guy who's trying different things every week. It helps. One of the things that is a trick, I kind of learned a little bit from you, Jeff, in the old Startup Nation days, is bringing on bigger names than yourself. So we'd bring on CEOs of companies, Toll Brothers, Brad Keywell, the founder of Groupon, well-known CNBC personality. So they would come on our site every single day. Alan Mulally, interviewed him a few times. So these big names would bring an audience for us.
Yeah, we actually called that hitch your wagon to a star. We tried to put names on all these little isms.
That's
and
great.
That was hitch your wagon to a star, and that's absolutely, you know, that's great. I'm glad you remembered that, and I'm glad you called it out, and I'm glad you used it, and it worked for you.
It was beautiful. I mean, literally every week there'd be a new, and people would say, "That's amazing, you interviewed Alan Mulally," and I'm like, "Yeah, no, it was awesome," and Alan Mulally liked it because he got distribution and coverage, and we loved it because we were Benzinga, and we were 6 months old. Who knew of Benzinga? And literally the NASDAQ, who's a big customer of ours now, came calling to us. They're saying, "What are you doing there? What's in your water there?" And they, like, well, you know, we got very close to them because we were bringing on guys who were CEO of Chipotle. I mean, big companies. And how we got those guys is like same thing I did in college. I interviewed like Steve Jobs for a class, and it was going after them, being persistent like no other. Not the word no, I don't understand it. I just don't take the word
no.
Exactly. It annoys some people, but you just keep going.
No always means maybe.
Yeah, that's
no always means I gotta work around this. You know, and the key thing is when someone tells you no, we always say too, you gotta ask why. If you can find out the why, you got a shot to get around that no.
That's interesting.
I love that. I love that.
I like that.
I get you all the way. I got your number. That's for sure.
And
I'm glad we do here at Startup Nation Radio. It's great to have you on the air. What I've taken away from this is you had passion, you knew something about an industry, you moved it from an idea to a business concept, which you then worked hard at, got up at 4 a.m., worked it, created that content yourself, which in effect is creating the product. You then hitched your wagon to a star. You got noticed. You created these great partnerships, which brought the eyeballs, and it caught fire. I mean, obviously, you did a great job. You executed on all of that. So it's not just doing it. It's executing supremely. You've done that, and it's amazing. Norm, you're a great guest.
The best is yet to come from Jason.
All right, well, you know what? We're going to find out if he is the next Bloomberg, because we're going to check back with you, Jason, every now and then. We want to follow your story now.
Look forward to it, and thank you. And, you know, out of Michigan, we're here. We could be in New York or Chicago, but we're here. We're planting our flag here, and we want everyone to join in, and we hope to be here in 2 years.
Love
and you
it.
Guys talking about, like, how it was so small back then.
Love it. How do people check you out?
On Benzinga.com or MarketFi.com.
So Benzinga,
Benzinga.com. If you're looking for a job, Jason@Benzinga.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. One thing I know, when we do check back with him, Norm, and we say, "How's it going, Jason?" He's going to say, "Well, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. When he hits the $2 billion in sales, he already told us he's never going to be satisfied.
Nope. So that's a good thing.
He's $2 billion. Yeah, we're doing fine. We're moving along. All right. I love that. Okay. Good. Well, hey, speaking of successful entrepreneurs, Norm, you got another one for us. Who do we have?
Yeah, we have Ari Techner on the line. Ari is a great golfer, took his passion, has a company called Scratch Golf. He'll tell you where it is, what he's doing, who he's made golf clubs with. And I watch him play golf on Saturdays with his dad, and I've also actually played with his four-year-old son, who is amazing. So Ari will tell you all about those things. Ari?
Welcome to Startup Nation.
How you guys doing?
Hey, good to have you on the show, Ari.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so the theme of our show today is kind of like, you know, it's business is tough as it is, but to go into a segment where you've got lots of entrenched competition, you know, and you got to break out of that competition somehow. You're doing that in the market of golf. Tell us what you're doing, and we'll get to in a minute to how you did it. But tell us about your business.
My company's called Scratch Golf Clubs, and we've been around for almost 11 years now. We started out making handmade custom wedges and transitioned eventually into making irons and putters. And we've recently moved a little over a year ago back up to Detroit and opened a couple fitting centers, one in Berkeley and one up at Boyne Highlands. And we're doing some fittings there for our clubs and also some clubs for some of our competition, actually working with them directly. And just trying to help people play better golf. That's really the key.
And how did you, I mean, at some point, you know, just like we just heard from Jason, he had a real passion for the business that he ultimately got into. What about you? I mean, where did it come from? Were you a golfer when you were young? Or, you know, how did this business get started?
Yeah, to be honest with you, golf's always been a big part of my life. I've always played golf since I was probably 10, 12 years old, and I was in school at the professional golf management program up at Fair State University, training to become a golf professional. And I met Jeff McCoy, who's my business partner. And Jeff has an incredible talent at shaping metal and grinding and really just creating things with his hands. And he started grinding golf clubs for me while we were in college, taking the wedges that I had in play and modifying the bottom of the club to make it fit my game better. And I was just amazed at the work that he did. And we became good friends. And after college, he was working as a golf professional up at Boyne, actually, and I was out in Oregon. And he decided to escape the snow for a winter and move out and, you know, hang out for the winter. And we got to talking while he was out there and tried to find a way to make the clubs better that he was making. We were starting with a finished club, and once he was done grinding it, it was very light and didn't quite play right. So we went out looking for some raw forged heads that would give him enough weight to make the finished club the right weight and make it play exactly how it should. And we kind of thought it would be a small side thing for us, and we'd stay working as, you know, in the golf industry at a golf course. But we introduced the product in October of 2003, and we were totally inundated with orders. I think we got 300 orders in the first week, and we both quit our other job and have been doing this ever since.
Ari's got a lot of stories. Ari, you might talk about who you've made some clubs for and one call that you thought was a joke, and then the young man that played well at the Masters.
Yeah, we've made clubs for a lot of great players. We've had clubs in play on every major tour across the world. We've had wins on almost every tour. We've won a major on the LPGA, and the 14-year-old Chinese kid, Tin Lang Guan, who made the cut at the Masters last year, was playing our clubs. I got to spend a lot of time with him last summer, which is really great. And we've had a lot of great players. We can't use a lot of names, unfortunately, because a lot of them are endorsed by other companies. But one of the great things about that is every other company on tour essentially pays the players to use their clubs. And the players that are on staff with another company choose to use our clubs because they play better with them. And I think that that's the ultimate compliment with what we do. We've had some great players on staff as well. We had Ryan Moore on staff in 2010. David Duval was on our staff in 2011 and 2012. Christy Kerr has been on staff with us for a number of years. So it's really been great.
So I just have to ask, in listening to your story, there was a moment where you guys decided to make these clubs, and you qualified it as something you saw as a small side thing. I mean, in other words, you didn't get into this and say, let's build the world's biggest golf club company.
No.
No.
I got into this and said, let's build the world's greatest golf clubs. That's what I said.
Interesting. I think that's a very important, subtle, obviously, but an important thing. You had a passion for this. You wanted to build the world's best golf club. And, you know, lots of smart business people say all the time, if you produce a great product and you focus on just producing a great product or provide a great service, the money follows. You know, the money's the byproduct of, whereas if you get into business and say, my focus is I want to make a lot of money, and that's your focus every day, you tend to do things, cut corners or do other things that don't really get to the soul of it, the essence of it. Whereas if you focus on the product, as you did, it almost, I mean, you know, it's the classic build it and they will come. I mean, you know, right a little bit. All right, I mean, you said you had those first three, right away you had 300 customers. You built this great product, you focused on building a great product, and the 300 customers came.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I believe that that's really what sets my company apart from the other companies in my industry is that we do that every day. We're concerned with making the best clubs that we can. And we spend all of our money on the raw heads we get and the process and making the clubs better as opposed to marketing and paying tour pros and all the things that, you know, are really prevalent in our industry. And we're kind of the anti-golf club company, golf club company. And, you know, we're just a bunch of passionate golfers sitting around all day trying to help people play better golf and enjoy the game more. I mean, the game of golf right now is not doing as well as it was 10, 15 years ago. And part of it is because it's just so hard. And a lot of it is, I think, people playing the wrong equipment, you know, blindly listening to marketing they see on TV and in a golf magazine. And, you know, we're just trying to get people to get clubs in their hands that help them play better. Again, if that's a club made by Scratch Golf, if it's a club made by Titleist or TaylorMade or Callaway, whatever that is. You know, we want to increase the number of players and help golf grow.
Well, I think all of those altruistic things are really, you know, wanting to build a great product, wanting to help golfers, all those things that contributed ultimately to your business success, no question about it. You talk about breaking out. That was part of the way and the why you guys broke out. Well, when we come back after, we're going to get you for another segment here on Startup Nation Radio, and we're going to drill down. We talked about, you know, you built a great product and the 300 customers came. But I know there was a little bit in between those two things. We're going to find out how you got this ball rolling now and took this great passion and created a great business around it. We're going to drill down just like we did with Jason in this next segment on Startup Nation Radio. Stick with us.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream.
By taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, let's take some action now. Startup Nation Radio brought to you, as always, by Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. In fact, we've got Norm Pappas in the studio, and you helped put the show together, Norm.
Yeah, we have some great guys here.
You absolutely delivered. You delivered. You said you would. You know, we started the show. This just kind of rolled off my tongue at the start of the show, and we do that little quick introduction. I said, great stories, great advice, great inspiration. What more could you want? And you know what? We're getting it. We're getting all that.
Now, before Ari leaves the air,
we've got him for this segment. So go ahead. You got a question for him.
He gets to play with famous people. But I want, Ari, you to talk about your famous son.
Yeah, my son Milo's, he's four, and he's won three golf tournaments already. He's played all over the country numerous times. He's an up-and-coming star, that's for sure.
At 2 years old, he knew all the rules, right?
He did. He did.
Are you serious?
He's been on the golf course since he was 8 months old.
Do they keep score or anything?
Now, wait a second. Jason Rasnick, who we interviewed in the last segment, just put his headphones back on, pulled his mic back up, jumped in here and asked, you're a guest.
I'm sorry.
But he said he went to school with Ari.
He went to the same high school.
You know what? That's why you're successful. I love it. No, go ahead. Ask the question. Go ahead, Jason.
Ari, do they keep score? I mean, 4 years old, my kid, I'm like, you know, come on.
Yeah, we've won the parent-child championship at my respective country club the last 3 years in a row, once in Tennessee, and then the last 2 years up in Detroit. And the first year in Tennessee, he was 2 years old. It was a 12-hole scramble, and he was playing from a forward set of tees that they had, I think, kids under eight playing from. And I used 11 of his shots, and we shot 3 under par.
Wow.
So he's a pretty talented little kid.
Yeah, he can play.
Do you have a YouTube channel for this?
I have posted a few videos of him on YouTube.
I'm going to check it out. That sounds amazing.
If you search Golfer Milo, you'll find some YouTube videos.
Well, Ari, I have a feeling you could go on and on about your son.
No doubt about it.
Yes, of course you could. You know what? And you know, every dad could, but the reality is it sounds like you have really good reason to go on and on. You got a lot to go on and on about, but... All right, in the precious little time that we have, we're not done with you yet. On behalf of our great nation of entrepreneurs and small business owners out there, I want to know one key thing. You built this great product. You set out to create a great product. Obviously, you did that. You said, I went from this great product to all of a sudden we had 300 customers. But the reality is, I know there was something happened in between creating a great product and getting those 300 customers. What happened? How'd you do that? What was the tipping point that drew those 300 customers your way right away?
Well, essentially, there's a few internet golf equipment forums, and they're a little different now than they were in 2003, but essentially all the same people. And I met up with a guy who was a pretty regular poster on one of the more popular forums and played golf with him. And this was actually before we even introduced the product. And I had a couple prototypes in my bag, and he wouldn't stop asking questions about it. And he ended up following me after the round, almost 2 hours back to where I was staying, where I lived at the time. And he was in Portland. I was in Eugene. We met up halfway. So he drove down to Eugene almost 2 hours in the car and had the first wedge that we ever made for him. It was about 2 weeks before we were planning on launching the product, but it seemed like too good an opportunity to let go. And then he posted pictures and video of the club being made and just started raving about the product and what we were doing down there. And honestly, we got almost 300 customers pretty much just from that.
Incredible. So that, I might qualify that as kind of like influencer marketing.
Exactly.
Somebody that had influence, that's kind of a buzzword in today's marketing world, influencer marketing. People that have blogs, people that can influence mass audiences around a common, an affinity, common passion, whatever it may be.
And I think the product that we were offering at the time just really fit with what people were looking for. Custom and handmade putters were really starting to become popular, and this Scotty Cameron had this kind of black market type of thing going on, and everybody was willing to pay a few $100 extra to get their names stamped on the putter. And we kind of took the same tact with wedges, and we were a company that no one had ever heard of, but we would stamp your name on there for no extra charge, because frankly it takes us somewhere between 10 and 12 seconds to do that. So to charge a few $100 for it seemed ridiculous. So we offered a product that was really customizable and really fit with what I think people were looking for, especially the people that in 2003 had seeked out these golf forums online and were spending hours looking at pictures of golf clubs online and salivating over this couple $1,000 Scotty Cameron putter and everything. So I think what we were doing really reached them, and the pictures and the video that this guy took that came to our shop, that was the best marketing that you could ask for, and it was free. And he just did it because he was so excited about what we were doing and kind of felt like he had found us, which, to be honest, he kind of did.
So, Ari, when you customize clubs for people, how many strokes can they expect to take off their game?
It really depends on the level of golfer that they are. And a lot of people assume that what we do really only benefits better players. But, if you're a 10, 12, 15 handicapper who really, 20 handicapper who really struggles with their short game, a properly fit wedge customized correctly can, they can save a few strokes around easily. And a better player, a tour player that shoots around par, I think, we've seen that can save half a stroke, a stroke. A tour player can shave a stroke or two at tournament. And it all makes such a difference in golf. One stroke is everything. You're a tour player, it's the difference between winning a major, keeping your card, and finishing second and not keeping your card sometimes.
So, Ari, where does it all go from here? I imagine you've not lost your ambition for success, even though you've realized it heretofore. But where does it all go now? What's the vision?
Right now we're concentrating on the fitting centers that we've opened in Michigan, kind of growing that part of the business. And I've really been concentrating on growing the brand internationally. I've spent a lot of time in Asia this year kind of growing the brand over there. We've got a great distributor in Korea, and we're just signing a new distributor in China, and working really hard on getting a new guy over in Europe. And I just think international growth of the brand is going to be the key for Scratch Golf moving forward.
What about, anytime you start a new business, particularly when you have investors involved, people who have money in the business and everything else, I don't know whether you do or you don't, but really, regardless of that, sometimes people want to cash out. I would imagine you're a prime acquisition target with your business.
Sure.
Have you been, I'm sure you've been courted by suitors?
Yeah, we have a little bit.
Is that, did you build this business to build it and sell it? Or is this a lifestyle business you want to be in forever? And really, if the right offer comes along, fine, but that's not the plan.
I definitely didn't build the business to sell it. I wasn't even thinking about it, honestly, ever even growing this big when I first started. And I think we definitely could be a good acquisition target. And if that happened, what I would like to see is a situation where somebody comes in and buys us and turns us into kind of their tour department, and we all continue working for that company and we continue doing what we're doing, but just on a larger scale.
Yeah, see, I love that. This, again, speaks to, you talked about in the beginning, when you started this business, it wasn't about making money. It was about, and of course, that's great. It's all important. We've got to take care of our families. We want to improve our lifestyle. All that's good. Don't have to make excuses for that. But you set out to build a great product. You set out to help people play a better golf game. And you didn't build a business to buy it and flip it. You built a business to have a lifestyle business because you love it. You want to be part of it. And now, in answer to my question about might you sell the business, you said, be happy to entertain that, but I'd want to stay with the business, and my team wants to stay with the business. I love
right.
that, Norm.
Yeah, he has a good team, too.
I love that. But, I mean, don't you see, you know, when you look around and you look at people who are successful about business, they love their businesses, don't they?
Particularly when they create them.
Yeah. It's yes, like, because that's right. You do kind of, you can plateau.
Right.
It can get a little stale and, you know, but it's not Ferrari.
No, Ari's innovative just as Jason is innovative. And, you know, that they have their passions, they're working.
Yeah, it's a central theme. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, we talk about these little guys, quote unquote, and these guys aren't so little anymore, but they certainly started out that way with a big idea, you know, as little players in the market, you know, non-players to start with, but, I mean, against these big gorillas in the marketplace. And they're breaking out, and I think a core theme is loving what you do, having passion for it, certainly knowing about what you're doing, having an ability to really have some expertise, right? Some unique knowledge and capability you can put to work in your business.
Well, to your show and everything, to see startup companies be disruptive to big companies and take market share
and
be successful, that's fantastic.
And that's what Ari's doing.
Yep.
And certainly Jason, too. And I think, you know, it's great. We started out with a theme for this show. We drew out some great stuff. Ari, we'd love to continue to follow your business as well and to track your success. Congratulations, by the way. You built an amazing business.
Thank you very much.
Ari, if people want to get a set of scratch golf clubs, how do they find you?
Scratchgolf.com. We're also the fitting center is on 11.5 in Woodward, right next to Vincetta Garage, and we also have one up at Boyne Highlands. And anyone can also feel free to email me at ari@scratchgolf.com, A-R-I, and I will personally help them out.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Startup Nation. We're going to check back with you, Ari, from time to time.
Sounds great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate
it. All right. Well, Norm, great show.
Yeah.
Great show. You know, we reached out to you, as I said, and we said, bring us some great guests. We want to show how it happens here in America.
And these are two young men. They're the best is yet to come from both of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And, you know, it's rare. I mean, we're fortunate to have these great success stories in our midst. It's rare to find them. They're rare. I mean, you know, it's all the things have to come together right in order for a business to break out.
And they're Michigan-based,
which is
what we want.
And we love that, Norm. We love that. Well, listen, thank you very much for co-hosting
today.
My
pleasure.
And for helping us put the show together. We're going to call on you again. You did such a good job. You set the bar high, Norm.
All right.
You set the bar high.
Happy to do it.
All right, great. Well, listen, great show. Great show. Again, our call out to our sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, Pappas Financial. As always, on Startup Nation, we are produced by our great producer, Bree Sissoko, our engineer, Rich Luzinski, great team that puts this show together. And every Saturday, you can find us right here. And we say between this weekend and next weekend, get out there and start it up.